Welcome back to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. Today we will listen to the first episode of Unapologetic.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetic seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Unapologetic is a new show with Bobby and Heather Conway. I will let them explain how it came about and what it is all about, but I am sure you will enjoy it. I want to remind our listeners that if you are looking to make an end-of-the-year gift to sustain 1 Minute Apologist, you can do so at 1minuteapologist.com/form. And now, I will turn it over to Bobby and Heather.
On today's episode of Unapologetic,
who wants to get written off? Who wants to be canceled? Who wants to lose their job? Who wants to lose their friends? Yet, at the same token, we feel this compelling commandment to go into all the world and make disciples, that we are to be witnesses of Christ, according to Acts 1:8.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the debut of Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist, aka my wonderful husband.
Woo-hoo!
I am Heather Conway, your host, and this is such an exciting day and such an anticipated day, and we are so thrilled to be here, aren't we, sweetie?
Oh, for sure. It is exciting to be able to have this radio program. And you know what? It's really fun, hon, to have you hosting it.
I know. Deep breaths. It's going to be fun.
It's kind of your debut, isn't it?
It's my
debut,
too.
We're being honest on radio and leading a program.
Yeah, we do these YouTube lives, but I can say this is my first radio debut. I have to be honest. It's exciting to be here.
So. Yeah, we thought it would be fun to be able to do a program where we're working together and talking about these apologetic issues. My wife has been with me for a long time as it relates to seeing me as an apologist, and she has such a great eye for big picture of what it means to get apologetics into the lay person's hands and heart. And sometimes you've been amazing, hon, at getting my head out of the ethereal clouds.
That's right. I like to say I'm kind of the lay person. So if I understand it, then that means everyone else listening out there can understand it. So I guess we make a good team in that way.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is an exciting day. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Bobby, he is actually the co-host of Pastor's Perspective here on K-Wave with Pastor Brian Broderson through the week. So if you have not tuned into that, you definitely should. And he is also the founder and creator of the 1 Minute Apologist, which is a YouTube ministry. And by the way, if you have not subscribed to that, you should go and like it, subscribe it, and share it for sure. So honey, tell us a little bit about what the 1 Minute Apologist is and what we like to call it, the OMA. What does that stand for and what's it all about?
Yeah, so again, OMA, 1 Minute Apologist. This is a YouTube channel that I started about 10 years ago, and we have got, I think, close to 1,200 videos that people can access. We've got a search engine that they can go and see some of the greatest apologists on the planet answering questions that I'm pitching to them, and then I do a ton of the questions myself. These are brief, creative videos designed to help people to have credible answers to curious questions. So if somebody's in the workplace or somebody's in their neighborhood and they're bumping into somebody who's a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Muslim or an atheist, we've got videos that are aimed to come alongside of them and help coach them and give them some confidence for conversation.
I love it. And what I love the most about the 1 Minute Apologist is how the information is short, concise, creative, and it's super practical and digestible for anyone to understand, even someone like myself.
Now, I would think that you would say something like, that's great and all, but what I love the most about the 1 Minute Apologist is the 1 Minute Apologist.
Is you, my husband, my hunky, hunky husband. That's right. Well, that is the first thing I love about it. But the second thing I like about it is that it's super practical and digestible. And it's even so practical and digestible that we've heard that even professors use it in college. And we've heard that high school teachers use it. So you know if a teenager can understand it and apply it, then we're doing something right because we are such a sound bite culture.
Yeah, we'll even see professors using it and students using it. You know, when we were up around 750 videos, I was speaking in Northern California, and a PhD student from Stanford University said, I just listened to all 700 plus videos of yours in the last week. Can you imagine?
Okay. Well, now that's a scholar if they did that in 1 week. I'm impressed. Very, right? Very impressed.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, so let's talk more about the name Unapologetic, because it's kind of like a play on words, because you are an apologist. You're the 1 minute apologist. So is there any correlation between the name apologist and unapologetic?
Well, apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give a defense. And so when we think about apologetics, what we're doing is giving a defense of Christianity. You can have a Muslim apologist, you can have a Mormon apologist, you can have an atheist apologist. I happen to be a Christian apologist, and that means that I want to give a defense for the reliability of Christianity. Now, that said, by unapologetic, I think about Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe?" And by unapologetic, I'm just trying to say we don't want to be ashamed of what it is that we believe as Christians. There are a lot of people like the new atheists or fundamentalists like Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, the late Christopher Hitchens, who would want to minimize Christians and make us feel silly for our beliefs. And I want to be able to say, hey, we should be unapologetic. That doesn't mean that we want to be arrogant. That doesn't mean we want to be cocky. That doesn't mean we're not teachable. But it does mean, in the spirit of Paul the Apostle, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I think that church has been shamed into the closet. And I hope this program will be an invitation to come out of the closet and to invite people into a relationship with Christ.
Oh, very well said. I actually personally love the name unapologetic because, you know, we're living in a time when people are actually terrified to say what they really think and feel because we live in such a cancel culture. It's such a cancel culture. And here's the thing. I think we can still be unapologetic without being, like you just said, rude and disrespectful and arrogant and prideful. Because when I think about it in my own life, some of the people I'm most drawn to are just the people that are really honest and genuine, but also nice and not mean about it. Because at the end of the day, we can agree to disagree and still love each other.
That's right.
So unapologetic is a great word because we can just be confident in what we're saying because we're being authentic and gracious about it.
Such good words. We have to be able to come together in this cancel culture and find a way to be shameless. It's scary, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, who wants to get written off? Who wants to be canceled? Who wants to lose their job? Who wants to lose their friends? Yet, at the same token, we feel this compelling commandment to go into all the world and make disciples, that we are to be witnesses of Christ, according to Acts 1:8. And so here we feel we're to be witnesses, and then our culture is ready to silence us. How do we do that? I think a lot of it can come down to just having some good conversational technique, some good relational skills.
Yeah.
I mean, there is so much that we can learn as it relates to evangelism and apologetics in the people skills department. The reason I think sometimes people get written off is they're abrupt. They are cocky. They are condescending. They are arrogant. And I think that if we are loving and humble and gracious and we season the gospel with salt, so to speak, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to write us off. That can still happen. But we have a better chance of seeing people digest the gospel if we speak the truth in love.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think having some tact goes a long way,
absolutely,
like you said. And I think also we are, you know, kind of told on the radios and TV shows and the news that we don't have common ground, that it's either or, that, you know, these people are against us and these people are for us. But I think at the end of the day, I think we all have more common ground than we realize.
Exactly.
And I think we can be unapologetic in that, but still also realize that there's some common ground there if we're just gracious and kind to one another. Kindness goes so far.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the Bible even says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an apologia, an apologetic, a defense for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within you. But when you give this apologia, this defense, it says, do it with gentleness and respect.
Yes.
I love the ending part of verse 15. James Sire wrote a book called A Little Primer on Humble Apologetics. I love that. I think the church could use a little primer on humble apologetics. Now, I think one of the reasons the church is so fearful of apologetics is they think that it's just, you know, this academic endeavor, that it's, you know, kind of the, you know, the special forces of Christianity, the academic elite. But really, in the context of 1 Peter 3:15, those who are giving an apologetic, Peter's writing to those who are being persecuted and suffering as a result. And as those who are suffering continue to persevere in their faith with Jesus, Peter's saying, hey, be prepared when people see you suffer well to give a defense. And when you do it, don't give a defense out of bitterness and resentment for the fact that you're suffering. Do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. So even in the key context whereby we get our word apologetics, what's interesting is it's rooted in a chapter in context as it relates to having a life apologetic. Yes. It's not about having this academic apologetic. It's about living it in such a tasteful, attractive way that people watch and they say, I want to know more.
Absolutely. Just having that integrity and being winsome about what you're saying in life and that you believe it in a gracious way. So as we move on, what can we expect from the Unapologetic Show? Like, what's the format going to be? What kinds of topics and interviews will we be doing?
Well, one of the things that I want us to recognize on this weekly program is the church is in crisis.
Yes.
We are doing this program as we're in the midst of COVID-19 quarantine. A lot of us are feeling a little bit COVID crazy. I think we can relate to that, right, babe?
Oh, yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen to that one. COVID crazy, corona crazy.
COVID, corona crazy. But we're also not sure what to make of the church. We don't know what's going to happen as it relates to the church. There's lots of confusion in our culture, and we want to help clarify it. We want to help give vision to pastors. We want to help give vision to ministry leaders. We want to help give vision to people in the congregation, because kind of a storm has been happening underneath the surface for a long time, and I'm not sure we realize just how divided we are as a church. You have things like progressive Christianity, the new atheism. You have LGBTQ. You have critical race theory. You have pluralism. You have all of this going on in our culture. And oh, by the way, are we about to become a Marxist culture? Is our culture being completely uprooted? Like Dinesh D'Souza in his book title, The United States of Socialism. So all of this is creating some angst. It's creating angst in our culture at large, but it's also creating angst in the church. People have been watching church online, or have they? And once we come out of quarantine, the question's going to be, what will church look like? Pastors need to be prepared, because their audience, their congregation's going to show up, and they need to be able to answer this question. What in the world just happened? What is the state of the church? What is the state of the culture? How are we going to reach this culture today for Christ? How are we going to do apologetics? And what I hope, hon, is there are so many people that have avoided apologetics in the church. I hope that this program becomes a motivation, an inspiration. It instigates people to say, you know what? I have got to be a voice of apologetics in our church. If we don't come together and figure out what the issues are and how to defend them and how to talk about them, that's going to be a problem. And we're going to see more and more people fall prey to apostasy if we don't do our job. Now, having said that, I'm so thankful because of all the years of being the one-minute apologist, and with our YouTube channel, I have acquired quite a network of friends who are apologists. And I'm excited to be able to bring some of the world-leading apologists onto our program and to be able to interview them and get their expert opinions as well on how it is we can best reach this culture for Christ.
I love it. And I think we should talk just a little bit more about apologetics in the local church, even though you've just done a really good job of it.
Yeah.
I still think pastors don't even really, first of all, I don't think most pastors even know what apologetics is.
Right.
Like, I really don't think they do. And, you know, we were what, pastors and pastors' wife for over 20 plus years. And I know for me personally, it was never talked about in churches. You were really the first one that I knew as a pastor to talk about apologetics. So first of all, why do you think people or pastors aren't comfortable talking about apologetics? And what do you think that we can do, even in this program or just in society, to get the local church more excited about apologetics? Because A, the word apologetic kind of sounds like you're saying I'm sorry for something, which isn't good.
Yes, that's right.
we don't need to apologize when you be unapologetic. But like, why do you think the church isn't doing its job when it comes to apologetics? And what do you think that we can do to help the church come along in that?
I think one of the problems as it relates to apologetics in the church is the word apologetics.
Yes, I do too.
Okay. Like, okay, as you just mentioned, does it mean that we're apologizing
right.
and we understand, you know, that's not what we're talking about? I mean, I remember the first time I heard the word apologetics. I was listening to K-Wave. I was driving to work at the Ritz-Carlton where we both work back in our dating days in Dana Point. And I heard it on the radio and I thought, what in the world is apologetics?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate name in some ways.
Odd word. It is. It is. But I don't think the option is just to get rid of it because
no.
it's a word that's there.
Right.
I think that, there's a way to do it without it, but I mean, it's there. So I think we just teach people what the word means. And I think that we want to be able to be ready to give a defense for why it is that we believe Christ died and rose from the grave, or why it is that we believe that God exists, or why it is that we believe that God is still good, even though we live in a world with suffering, or why that it is that we think we can trust the Bible, why it is that we believe that God answers our prayers, why it is that we believe that God is both just and loving.
Yeah.
See, apologetics comes in and it answers and it strives to articulate, to give words to these questions that create angst in us and burden us. And that's what it does. And I think one of the reasons pastors don't do apologetics is they've come out of seminaries mm-hmm. that didn't have departments in apologetics that train them. That's one of the problems, I would say, with seminaries today. Seminaries really got to get the importance of apologetics to equip the students. But then not only that, we have to say what apologetics is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we say what apologetics is not, hopefully we're trying to deal with what many people falsely believe apologetics is. So apologetics is not to be overly black and white. It's not to be ultra rigid. It's not to die on a thousand hills. It's not to be so black and white that it doesn't recognize gray. It's not to be arrogant. Apologetics should be humble. It should be dying on the right hill. It should be equipping people to have confidence to share the gospel. If apologetics is really doing its work in the church, then people are going to feel more confident to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I had to say this, hon. Imagine sending people off to war with an M16, giving everybody an M16 and saying, go to war, but never sending them through boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
A church that sends people out into the mission field without apologetics is like giving people in the church an M16 gun, but never running them through boot camp. They're going to get shot up because they don't know the state of their enemy. They don't know how to defend the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And apologetics, if we can help people understand, it's like we're going to boot camp. We're understanding the nature of our enemy, the nature of the objections that are going to come our way, and we're understanding how to do combat in this world. And if you understand that, see, are you going to be more confident going off to war if somebody hands you an M16 with no boot camp? Or you're going to be more confident going off to war if somebody hands you an M16 that they taught you how to use.
Yeah. I think we have to show people in the church that it is useful.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where it gets lost. It really goes over people's head. I think they get very intimidated by it. But if, like what you're saying, we can show, hey, this stuff is very useful in everyday life. When you send your kids to college, which is a battlefield, speaking of guns, you better be prepared to defend your faith when you go onto a college campus. And so I think we have to do a better job as ministry leaders showing people how useful apologetics is, how practical it is, how even creative it can be, which is why I love the 1 minute apologist so much, is because it is so creative, so concise, so practical, and so useful. Mm. And I just think it's such a great ministry. So I think if we can get that to translate into our churches, I think we're going to see apologetics be what I think God wants it to be.
Absolutely. So we're giving an apologetic, as we like to say, not only for the head, but for the heart and the hands. So you get people that are wired right, head people, heart people, hands people. So head, they love the doctrine. Heart, they love relationships. Hands, they love social justice. And the church should be all of that, right? Like the church should not just be a doctrinal church at the expense of doing social justice and relationships. The church should not just be all love and relationships at the expense of understanding doctrine. The church should be head, heart, and hands. Yeah. And so when we think about apologetics, it hits all of those areas. So think about relationship. Jesus said, the world will know you are my disciples if you what? If you love one another. In other words, you're giving a defense of the truthfulness of Christianity by your love for one another. So there's an apologetic, a relational apologetic. Can we forgive each other? Can we remain unified? Do we gossip about each other? How is it that we live our lives differently relationally? Social justice, right? We're told to be the salt and light of the earth. We are to defend the powerless. We are to go out and help the widows and the orphans. Mm-hmm. And so as we engage in social justice issues, we're being an apologetic.
Yes.
And we're being an apologetic as well when we talk in an intellectual way of the trappings of critical race theory, or when we talk about why God's design for marriage between a man and a woman trumps our current cultural viewpoint on that. So as you can see, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's useful for the head. It's useful for the heart.
Yes.
It's useful for the hands. And you're exactly right. If we cannot stress that and get that into people's consciousness, they are going to struggle getting it. And so I think right now, hon, we need a vision. We need to come together as churches. We need to recognize that we are fractured, that we're broken. We need to look, we're so divided as a culture right now. We've got a silent civil war happening right now. We don't know what our culture is going to emerge into. We don't realize the dangers of the church and the future of it, with many of our millennials buying into a Marxist vision, into the LGBTQ, into critical race theory, into progressive Christianity. How's this going to affect our church? You know, about every 500 years, the church needs a reformation, and it's been 500 years since the church had one. How are we going to come together as a church? How are we going to reform? What's going to unite us? And what are we going to stand for? And I think if we can answer those types of questions, we can start equipping the church. We can start sending them through boot camp so that they can be tasteful, articulate, humble, and winsome in the way that we go out and defend the faith.
I love that. And that reminds me of your book, The Fifth Gospel, because you talk about in that book that our life should be an apologetic, right? Because most people won't read the first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they will read yours, your life.
Exactly.
And that's what your book, The Fifth Gospel, is all about. So we want our life to be a beautiful apologetic to people.
Absolutely. I love that statement. That was by the late British evangelist Gypsy Smith. There are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
But most people will never read the first four. Mm. And that's exactly why I wrote the fifth Gospel. Not to say that our life is inspired in the way that the four Gospels are, but our life should be inspiring as it relates to presenting the Gospel.
Well said. So what would you say as we wrap up here are some of the other important apologetic topics for today in the world that we're living in? Because we know that we're living in very crazy times, as we have just discussed. So what are some other topics that you think would be, you know, worth addressing on this unapologetic show?
I think some of the topics that we want to hit on is going to be, how do we get apologetics into the local church? And that's what we want to address next week.
Next week.
We really want help for people who are out there going, how do you get this into the local church? Then I think we need to think about the different questions some of these different stages of life are asking. So why does God care about my sex life? Mm. Why is God so obsessed with my sex life? I mean, we need to get in and talk about this.
Yeah, talk about these things that people are afraid to talk about.
Exactly.
And be unapologetic about talking about it.
Exactly. So why is sex between a man and a woman in the Bible? Is sex okay outside of marriage? So on and so forth. I think we mentioned some of the stuff as it relates to critical race theory. People want to know, you know, if God is good, why is there so much suffering in the world? What about those who've never heard the gospel? Are they going to be saved? Is the Bible just a folktale? Can I look to it and trust in it today? And there's just a number of questions as it relates to sharing the gospel and reaching people today that is so important for us to just figure out how it is that we're going to best articulate it. Now, here's the thing, hon. I really believe just even good relational skills and rhetoric, how do we talk about this stuff? How do we concede things at times? Like, oh, that's a good point. There's a way that we can give a defense without being defensive, as William Lane Craig says. There's a way that we can give an argument without being argumentative, as he also says. And I think that that's what we want to do. We want to help people to live out the Christian faith in a way that's beautiful before a watching world.
You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway. I'm your host, Heather Conway. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1 Minute Apologist YouTube channel where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we can continue providing this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at oneminuteapologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, or even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thanks for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.